Hey, welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I'm Dave.
And I'm Shecky. And today we are reviewing
Lords of Dogtown.
Dude.
Bro.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd have to say, before we even were going to watch this movie, I am a huge fan of Dogtown and Z Boys, the documentary about Stacy Peralta and his surfing, skateboarding friends. That documentary to me is the best documentary ever made. It's. I'm not a surfer, skateboarding girl. I was never interested in that. Growing up on the East Coast as a chick, it was just not something that appealed to me. So when Dogtown and Z-Boys was brought to my attention and I sat down and watched it, I became a huge fan of that whole culture. And that documentary is a 10 as far as I'm concerned.
I, on the other hand, I like the documentary. I don't know if I'd give it a 10 necessarily. I definitely dug it. But I grew up worshipping the skateboarding thing. And from about 12 to 13, about 1978, 79, I was in love with all those guys in terms of, you know, trying to be as cool as they were. And I had a subscription to Skateboarder magazine, and all those guys were in it.
Wow.
So for me, to see the documentary was way cool. And then I thought the movie, I just thought the movie was going to be some kind of Hollywood, like, cheesy sort of
shit sandwich
glance at those guys, but I was surprised.
Wow, I was not expecting anything good at all. I just wasn't, and I sat down. I was completely open-minded, excuse me, but was prepared to be really disappointed.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was much better than I expected.
Oh my God, I thought this movie was awesome from the get-go. The everything was just great. The cast was great. The skateboarding was great. The Heath Ledger, wow.
Yeah, really good.
You know, Heath Ledger, I always looked at him as just some really good-looking foreign dude. Excuse my voice today. A really good-looking foreign dude who I didn't really give a shit whether he acted or not. You know, he was good looking, and that's really, you know, a lot of those actors out there are just eye candy, really, and they're not really acting. But in this movie, the son of a bitch is acting.
Yeah, he was really, really good. You know, I didn't even think of him as Heath Ledger. I thought of him as just some kind of freaky, crazy guy. It was definitely... All the actors and actresses in this, well, almost all of them, all the actors anyway, they definitely became the characters, and you weren't thinking you weren't thinking these people are actors, or you were thinking they were the people they were playing, for sure.
And, you know, one thing that I thought might happen while I was watching it, and what didn't, was I was not comparing it to the documentary. The only way I was comparing it was, oh, that guy's playing that guy from the documentary. I know who, I recognize
right,
his character.
Right, it gave you a little insight.
Yeah, but it was...
Background information. The kid who played Jay Adams was really good.
All those kids were really... I wonder if they are real skateboarders or actors that, you know...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, they were all pretty... I mean, the kid who played Tony Alva was pretty much like Tony Alva. He was maybe a little better looking than Tony really is in real life. But,
yeah.
But he captured the vibe pretty much.
Yeah, I mean...
The whole thing, man, it was really, really good.
And if you haven't seen Dogtown and Z-Boys, it's about a group of kids, mostly boys, who hung around the Zephyr surf shop and together became a skateboarding team that kind of took the world by storm and introduced skateboarding as the extreme sport it is today.
That's true. These guys basically, you know, are part of the invention of extreme sports. You know, these guys and skiers, but these guys took the surfing and made, well, as they show in the movie, the urethane wheels was really you know, allowed them to do moves that they were never able to do before. And it advanced the sport greatly. And actually, you know, it's funny because you look at some of those, obviously some of the tricks that they're doing, they're not as advanced or as skilled as like Tony Hawk or someone today. But for the time, they were like, you know, mind-boggling.
They were, yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And the movie, Lords of Dogtown, takes three of these Z-boys, Tony Alva, Jay Adams, and of course Stacy Peralta, who wrote the movie. It's basically a snippet of their lives from, I'd say, 1975 to about 1978.
Yep.
And how they started as, you know, just these kids who like to surf and skateboard, and how, you know, a majority of them blew up career-wise. They just got huge.
I wasn't sure what to say there.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, they did blow up and get huge, and it shows that some of them turned it more into a career, and others just sort of let it go, or, you know, had more of an opportunity with it, or didn't make much out of it. It was
well. I think it really shows that Tony Alva was extremely opportunistic, if not a bit self-centered. Stacy Peralta, he was somewhat opportunistic, but he was not. He was pretty much a straight-laced type of kid.
Yeah.
And Jay Adams, his character, or he's not even a character in real life. I guess he just didn't take the opportunities, or maybe the ambition wasn't there, or something. He was really just skating for the love of skateboarding, for the love of skateboarding, and his mind wasn't, those wheels weren't turning, those business wheels weren't turning for him so much.
Yeah, as they could see in the movie, they showed how he had a troubled parenting. His parents were, well, his mom was, Rebecca De Mornay played his mom. She did a really good job.
Amazing.
And, she was like a hippie chick who just was totally messed up, basically wasn't really fit to be a mother, but was a nice person. And the father, or I guess maybe the father or stepfather, wasn't sure about that.
I think one of many boyfriends.
He was Ethan from Lost. He actually was a disappointment to Jay, too, because he walked out on him. So Jay was very disillusioned, it seems.
Yeah.
And saw through all the bullshit, basically.
Yeah, Jay, you could tell Jay's family life was, well, you know, it's funny. They don't really show Stacy Peralta's family life, did they?
They might have showed one scene. I can't remember. Essentially, Stacy was just pretty straight edge, and he had it together more than most of the other kids. Did they show him giving like a check to his parents? I can't remember.
I don't remember that. I do remember that they really showed. I mean, Tony Alva and his sister were sleeping in the same bedroom, which I thought was really creepy.
They really developed the characters well, and they developed each character really well. You got to see like how they were, and you know, actually their skateboard style was kind of reflected in the way that they were raised and the people they were. You know, Stacy was like a little more conservative, but really good and tight at what he did. Tony Alva was like a maniac, egomaniac, madman, like his dad was. And Jay was just, you know, completely all over the place.
Yeah, Tony Alva was definitely seeking the spotlight and just really wanting attention whenever he could get it. And Jay Adams was just, he was fearless. That's what I thought. I thought of his character was fearless. And the good thing about this movie as a companion to the Dogtown and Z-Boys documentary is that in Dogtown and Z-Boys, yeah, you see video or film footage of them skating, which is just awesome footage of them skating back in the day, but you're not really seeing who they were as people when they were kids. You just see them having fun and skating, and then you see them, you know, as they are in present day giving the interviews. But this kind of opens up a window to
right
how they were as kids and what this huge event or this huge thing that was happening in their lives, how it was affecting them. And I really loved it.
Yeah, I mean, this movie had the potential to really go bad, but it totally went good. I mean, they could have just, I don't know. I really expected it to be nothing like as good as it was.
Yeah, no, me too. I agree. I was floored that I was enjoying it so much. And it's funny, the other day I was listening to another podcast where they reviewed Polar Express because it was a Christmas movie. And I said, okay, I'm gonna watch it because they're reviewing it. And I watched it and I didn't get anywhere near the same kind of entertainment I got from this movie, The Lords of Dogtown. And
True.
You know what? This movie is really well shot. I mean, just from the get-go, I just loved the way it was shot. I loved the way it looked. I loved the soundtrack. The
soundtrack was really good.
Oh, my. It was...
Right off the bat with Hendrix, Joe Walsh, lots of good stuff in there. I was surprised. That, you know, that was pretty... This movie was very accurate in terms of its music and the way they depicted the 70s and that whole crazy vibe. It was right on.
I'd have to say the star, and it was hard trying to pull clips from the movie to play because it's such an ensemble effort, and they all work so well together that it was hard to pull clips of just, well, here, let's grab a clip of Heath Ledger doing his thing. There wasn't any, like, really crazy soliloquy moments where you can say, oh, this one's really shining. They all were really great together. And Heath Ledger... I was shocked. And Rebecca De Mornay.
Yeah.
I've always known she's good, and I've really liked a lot of the stuff she's been in. But her as a, I don't want to say strung out, but burnt out hippie chick.
Way burnt out.
Oh, completely burnt out.
She was so good, I didn't even realize it was her.
Yeah. No.
I had forgotten that she was even in the movie.
She did a great job. A great
job.
But
Heath Ledger was hysterical. He was, I mean, that was really... That was just great acting.
That's exactly what it was. It was really acting at its finest for him. I was so impressed.
I just think it's very cool that, you know, they've actually made a movie of these kind of characters. Because this is like, you know, total like rebel, like anti-commercial sort of like society. You know, I mean, these are like punk kids, like skateboarders, and like Heath Ledger's character is just like kind of like a, you know, like a freak, you know, from the 60s or... It's just like you don't really see these kind of movies where they actually, I don't know, this is very, very cool. This like took characters that I like as a kid I was like totally like worshipping and then made them like heroes in a movie. It's very cool. I don't know. Heath Ledger, I mean, yeah, he was an alcoholic, but he was kind of like, you know, he was endearing.
Oh, definitely.
It was the whole very cool, very cool.
Heath Ledger played what was his name?
Skip
M. I don't know his last name, Skip something or other, the head, the owner of this surf shop. And the surf shop was not a successful venture. It was just a place where kids hung out, and he was drinking and smoking pot, and he always seemed like he was living, you know, paycheck to paycheck. And but he still got in his head that he could put together this skate team, and then through the skate team, he could become rich by selling his skateboards.
He saw an opportunity.
He saw an opportunity, and he you got to give him that. He saw the opportunity, but he just was not a businessman. He wasn't a businessman, and he was making all the wrong choices, and eventually the skate team fell apart. But for the couple of years that they were together, it was madness.
He was kind of like a pirate Walter Matthau in Bad News Bears, you know, when he's like coaching the kids. He was like, that was that for a second that reminded me of that.
He is, but he was like a real life guy though. And I just loved it.
The whole thing was cool.
And then we noticed that in the stunts, in the stunt double section of the credits, Tony Alva and Stacy Peralta actually were the actors who played them, they were their stunt doubles for skateboarding, which I thought was very cool.
Right. All of them, all the Z-Boys had some sort of cameo in the movie. Or not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah, no, they...
One form or another.
Yeah, exactly. They just little walk-on parts. And you were noticing that there was a lot of old-school skateboarders in here as well. I mean, besides the Tony Hawk.
Right.
Which I, you know, recognize because he's, you know, everyone knows who he is. But you were saying, oh, well, there's Bob Biniak and... There's Jim Red Dog Muir. So there was a lot of their old friends from back in the day, peppered throughout this movie.
Yeah, most of those guys were in Skateboarder magazine at one point or another. They were like, you know, skateboarding rock stars, basically.
How did you first get into the skateboarding? Did you just see a magazine, or what was it?
Well, I always hung out with like kids who were like a couple years older than me, and they were like everyone in my town was into skateboarding, and we actually had like, you know, there was, well, I was kind of like hanging on. I was a little younger, but... Well, my friend Pete's brother was like the best skateboarder in town.
Oh, really?
Pete Helfand's brother Gary was the best skateboarder.
In Englewood, New Jersey?
In Englewood, yeah. And then so like, and then with him being like the head guy, there was also like, you know, three or four or five other kids who were as crazy and almost as good. Bob Nutt was one kid. And these guys were all like a few years older than me, but they were like huge herb smokers, like fiends, you know, and they were like go around skateboarding and like just crazy shit, like skateboarding down the roads, the hills at night in Englewood, and just it was really like an East Coast equivalent to what was going on there. They were trying to be these guys basically, and I was just like, you know, a little bit younger, like the younger brother, and I was like trying to be them.
You skateboard pretty well.
Yeah, I skateboard well. I used to go to parks. I used to go to Cherry Hill and all the cool East Coast parks, but see, the East Coast was like trying to just imitating what we saw in Skateboarder magazine, and these guys, you know,
invented it.
They were the real deal. But I swear, like in my little town, we had just this, you know, it was the same thing. This movie depicted that kind of vibe perfectly, like skateboard kids, the whole parties, the party scene, the whole, it was pretty cool to see a movie that actually depicted that without it being like with some sort of a message that...
Yeah, some moral.
Some sort of anti-drug message or whatever, you know. It was just cool.
It was kids having fun, getting drunk, smoking pot, and skateboarding. And it was... I liked that there was no moral, too.
Yeah, you know, it was really funny. Like, at the end, like, the kid's dying of brain cancer, but he's like... And the maid's like, what are you doing? You know, don't roughhouse. And then he's like, okay, bring me some herb. And she's like, oh, okay. Like, because he was smoking pot for his cancer.
Because he had the medicinal marijuana prescribed.
They weren't trying to be too heavy with the movie in terms of, like, saying things in the 70s were, like, bad and, oh, look how far we've come now.
Right.
This was more like showing, like, yeah, shit was kind of fun back then.
It was like a glimpse at the time. It was really...
And, like, Heath Ledger, like, he must have seen, like, the documentary and seen this guy Skip in the documentary. And then just applied it to how he must have been 25 years earlier in the 70s, you know, like a long-haired, freakier, younger version of what he saw in the doc. I mean, because I can't, because he kind of reminded me of what I saw of the guy in the documentary.
Like he probably had the met same, him.
Maybe he met him. Maybe they hung out even. He had the character. I mean, he had it going. He had the characteristics and everything. That guy was kind of like a weird dude. You know, he has like definitely like a fried kind of like underground character.
Beyond baked. You know, exactly, beyond baked into fried. Because baked, I just associate with smoking a lot of weed. But fried, I associate with acid.
Yeah, no return either. It's exactly. Not like you're like that and then one day you're normal. This is like your permanent condition.
Yeah. Oh, but it was, they should really just put these two movies together and sell them as a set. Because you definitely want to see both of them.
Yes, that would be a good set.
I mean, I was as soon as I was watching it, about halfway in, I'm like, I should buy this movie. And see, this is the problem that we're having with reviewing movies that are on pay-per-view, because it is the Groovy Boob Tube review. When you get a movie on pay-per-view, you're not getting the director's cut. You're not seeing the deleted scenes. So what happens is that when I go and try to pull clips from the internet through some secret legal way, I'm sure I'm doing it, you wind up seeing more scenes in the movie as you're dragging through, you know, you're scrolling through the movie to pick a scene and you're like, well, wait a fucking second. I didn't see that last night. So that is, I'd say it's a major disadvantage, because this is like this might be the third time that this has happened.
So you're saying you want to see the director's cut?
I'm saying that, you know, this is the Groovy Boob Tube review and we're reviewing what we've seen on the Boob Tube, but truthfully, I would probably rather go out and buy this movie.
But what do you see in the movie theater?
In the movie, right. Well, in the movie theater, you see what we saw on pay-per-view.
Yeah, and that's what I want to see. I want to see what they intended me to see in the theater.
Well,
I want to see what they deemed acceptable at the cut-down length.
Who is they?
Well, there you go. If it's put, I want to see what the director wanted me to see.
Well, that's the director's cut.
Yeah, why isn't the director's cut the only cut?
Because studios cut stuff. Because this is the problem even with television shows. You have these asshole people at the executive producer level who have no idea what they're saying, what they're doing, what they're looking at. But because their name is somewhere in the credits, they want to feel like they've done something. So then they'll say, take that out. We don't need it. When it's, you know, when it's like 40 seconds that is totally needed, or it's not hurting anything to have it in. I've seen it so many times editing TV shows. Comedy Central is the worst, but I imagine that, you know, in movies, it's just as bad.
Well, directors need to have something in their contract that says they won't direct the film unless it's cut the way they want it.
Well, this woman, Catherine Hardwicke, who directed this...
She's nobody.
It's not that she's nobody. This was her second film that she directed.
She's damn good.
She was really good. She did that movie 13 that you and I have not seen. She did a lot of other, like, she's worked in another capacity in movies.
She's not afraid to show controversial stuff, I guess. Because, I mean, this movie, like, showed, like, you know, like, okay, first of all, Tony and his sister sleeping in the same room together. And how are they, like, you know, 17 or something? At that point, that's a little weird.
But it must have happened that way.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is what happened in the 70s. Like, people, like, things happened in the 70s that nowadays you'd be, like, taken away from your parents for. Because, like, I know my friends' parents, they would smoke herb with their kids, and they would, like, do all kinds of crazy stuff that now you'd just be, like, taken away from your parents. And they kind of depicted that. Like, Jay's mom, Rebecca De Mornay, was just so, like, irresponsible, so messed up. That whole scene, I mean, the father's, like, growing pot in the back room or something. It's just like, that was cool back in the 70s. That was no problem. But now, I mean, like, my friend would go and get a nickel bag for his mom, you know, and it wasn't like, oh, my God. This is like, I call up and she'd be like, oh, no, he's scoring some weed. He'll be back in a minute. And I'll be, okay. And it wasn't like he was scoring weed for me. He was getting, like, his mom a nickel bag, like, on 110th Street in Amsterdam.
Right.
And this was like, and he, you know, he ended up going to college, whatever. Okay, he's a total fuck up, but...
But because of that.
He would have been a fuck up anyway.
Exactly.
It's just like, and this movie really depicted, like, you know, things that just don't happen anymore.
It's a shame because it's almost like in the past 25 years, things have gotten so rigid and so PC, and it's like a pestilence upon our culture.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, I'm not out there advocating that you send your kid to buy a nickel bag for you, but...
Certainly not.
There's just no reason why pot should be demonized like it is.
Well, you know, MTV came along and replaced what was once real with plastic fakeness.
You know, that is so true. It's so true because there is music... And that's why I don't even want to watch MTV or VH1, because there's music on there that if you just turn your eyes away from the television, the songs are horrible. And they would never, ever get a second listen if there wasn't a video tied to it.
And I know older people were saying that about music when we were kids, but this is worse.
Yeah.
This is more generic, more one dynamic. This is just, you know, most of the music is bad. And it's... imitating what was once real.
Yeah.
And the kids today don't even know it's bad. They don't know that what they're doing isn't the real thing. That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think in the 70s, in the midst of all that smoking weed and surfing and skateboarding, I don't think kids were bringing shotguns to school and killing one another.
Well, there you go.
Or, you know, mugging people for their sneakers or you know, it's just insanity. And so we really haven't progressed much in 25 years. We have regressed.
Some would say it is true. I would say it is very, very true.
Who was your favorite cameo appearance in this movie?
Man, I'd have to look back and watch it again because I think there's some cameos that I missed.
We're going to have to do that.
So,
right off the top
right
of my
the
head.
Bat, it's obviously Tony Hawk.
Oh, see, right off the bat for me, it's Mitch Hedberg.
Ah, he was really in it?
Yeah.
See,
he was the urethane wheel salesman.
Well, there you go. Mitch Hedberg. Gotta send one out to Mitch Hedberg.
Rest in peace, Mitch Hedberg. What a shame. What a shame that he's gone. But it was almost like we saw him in the movie and we're like, is that Mitch Hedberg? Because he's passed away, and he passed away prior to this movie coming out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
When did he die?
Maybe a year and a half ago.
Okay, yeah. This movie came out in June of 2005. just
well,
six
he obviously
months
died
ago.
Before it came out, I think.
Yeah.
But not before he was in it. Because that would have been weird.
Then it would have been Mitch Hedberg.
Well, you know, he died of the apnea. That deadly apnea.
Is that what? Is that what they said? Apnea?
I think he... I don't know.
See, I thought it was the dreaded heart failure.
Ah, heart failure, apnea, a.k.a. heroin.
A.k.a. died in a hotel room. Whenever you hear someone died in a hotel room, it's never good.
Yeah.
It's never they died in their sleep. It's
not
always
happening.
Some fucking... Is it always just heroin overdose, or sometimes is it like a coke-induced heart attack?
Yeah.
It's a mix of both?
It depends on how many prostitutes were there.
Oh, man. You know, and I want to talk about one other thing here with this movie. I don't like to read other people's reviews on these movies that we're doing because I don't want it to affect me at all.
Yes.
But I had to download the trailer from Rotten Tomatoes, and I saw that it overall it got a really bad review. And as and on Lords of the, I mean, on IMDb as well, they're only giving it a 6.6 out of 10. And I
don't understand that. What did they give Crash?
I don't know. That's good. I don't know what they gave Crash.
Because this was much better than Crash.
This is the best movie we've reviewed out of the four.
By far. 100% better than any of the movies we've reviewed so far.
I give this
movie
a 9 out of 10.
Hands down, much better.
What do you give it out of 10?
You know, somewhere between an 8 and a 9 for sure.
Yeah, I just give it a straight out 9. Because
it's a really good movie.
It's,
I mean, I guess if I watched it again, you could maybe try and look for faults. But it did everything a movie should do, and then some.
I mean, we were kids. That we are just maybe, what, 2 years younger than those guys?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like...
Two or 3 years younger?
Exactly.
So when we were in that era, even though I wasn't into surfboarding and skateboarding and surfing, I still recognized the lingo and the language and just kids hanging out and being kids. So, I mean, maybe people who are viewing this movie weren't from that era. Maybe that's why it's touched us the way it has.
That's perhaps true.
I mean, you can't have someone like, what's his name? Stephen Holden,
what about him?
I don't know what he's the guy from New York Times.
Yeah.
I mean, he's be about 87 at this point. So if he's going to review this movie, I can't imagine he's going
to
give it.
You're saying this movie is only going to be really ring true to one generation?
No, I think it's people who are older than us that won't, you know, the people who thought, oh, those kids and their rock music.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
They're not going to be magically whisked away.
Well, what about kids who are just like, oh, those guys were square back in the 70s. We're jumping off buildings today. That's nothing.
No, because I think people like that know of Tony Hawk, know of where he comes from, knows how huge he was. And I mean, Stacy Peralta is the one who basically discovered Tony Hawk. You know?
True.
So I think...
It's a line of heritage.
I think our age and younger definitely would appreciate this movie. I think people at 10 years older and up are looking too deeply for... There's a lot of pretentious bullshit going on with people reviewing movies today.
I think this movie just got cast to the side in terms of... You know, maybe like people thought it was just like another Blue Crush or something.
You think that's what happened?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. It's just a skateboard movie. Or, like, you know, there's been some really bad skateboard movies, like Gleaming the Cube. Let's not forget that great tribute to the sport.
Gleaming the Cube with Christian Slater.
So maybe, you know, maybe people think, how good can a skateboarding movie be? But this movie transcended just skateboarding, and it touched the human element.
Well, that's the... That's the truth. I mean, there are a lot of crappy, like, extreme sport movies out there. I hadn't even thought about it. Like Hot Dog and all those other crappy movies. And maybe it's...
Ski School.
Maybe it got somehow thrown into that genre when it's not. It's a biopic, really.
This movie should have been on Oprah. This is so much better than Crash. I can't imagine. Crash was so pretentious and cliched and just, like, ridiculous.
And
this movie was like true school. This was like true. I don't understand it. Is it just because I dug these guys when I was a kid? I don't think so, because you didn't dig these guys when you were a kid.
No, I didn't even know who they were. But the documentary Dogtown and Z Boys opened my eyes to them, and now, I mean, Jesus, I wish I had been. I wish I was with you and looking at those magazines. That would have been awesome. I can't imagine that for you, for somebody who actually was skateboarding in the, I mean, there's some hills in Englewood. When we were living there, I would drive down and it was like a San Francisco hill.
They call them the Seven Sisters.
The Seven Sisters. So I can't imagine how exciting it would be for you to watch Dogtown and Z-Boys, because you knew these guys and you were like, oh my God, that guy is Tony Alva. Holy shit. And Stacy Peralta and all that guys. I mean, and then to see this movie. It even had a different thing for you.
Actually, yeah, that was cool, because in the beginning of the movie, before they even say the characters' names, I could pick out, like, they had typecast these characters perfectly. I could pick out exactly who was who. I mean, you knew right away, Stacy, Jay, Tony. You could tell exactly who they were. And then, you know, it was
They
very
did
cool.
an excellent job casting this movie.
I don't know how many times I can say it, but I think it was very cool.
You would recommend buying this film.
Well, if you, like I said, if you buy films, yeah, this is one to buy. I would recommend this one to buy. And I would recommend buying the biography, too, the documentary, too.
Yeah.
Because this movie really gives you a little, like, insight into, you can see, like, how these guys were as kids, what their parents were like, and you can see how they ended up now. And so this is kind of like an insight into, like, human existence, really.
And it's not just Stacy Peralta's version of events, because the other guys are involved in it, whether they're doing their stunts or doing walk-on roles. So they knew what the script was about. So it's not like Stacy Peralta said, okay, I'm going to make this the Stacy Peralta story, because he didn't do that.
Yeah, he didn't make himself out to be a hero or anything.
It really was. There were three heroes of this show, of this movie. It was him and Tony Alva, and I think mostly he really highlighted Jay Adams. I really, like, throughout the whole
right.
movie, they really spent more time on him, and it seems like almost an homage to him from Stacy, because he's the guy that, you know, wound up going to jail and really lived a not so great life, and he really wanted to highlight that this kid back then, something that you couldn't really do in the documentary, but something that he could do in this movie. He really highlighted how this kid had so much heart and so much love for just skateboarding.
Yeah.
And it was so well done. So well done.
Definitely.
I think of the Rotten Tomatoes website, and I think of the Internet Movie Database, and I look at the ratings they give it, and I want to shake them. I do. I want to shake them and say, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they're looking at. Why would they say it? Why would you give this a bad rating?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
Why don't you let us know if you think it's bad? Tell me why it's bad, because I don't think it's bad.
No. I think the dialogue was perfect for the time. I thought it was great. It was great, and at the end, it made me cry. Something the Polar Express did not do.
Well, you got a kid with cancer. Cancer kid is always going to choke you up.
Yeah.
Weed-smoking cancer kid always does it for me.
Yeah, but it really did it for me, because
It was true. That's what I'm saying. This movie struck a chord.
I mean, sometimes when they're trying to get you to cry or whatever, and it's just a regular drama and it's not true, then you feel like you're being manipulated. But this is a fucking true story. The kid died of the brain cancer. And the kid who dies of the brain cancer, of course, is Sid, whose parents empty out the pool for him, which was the very beginning of those dog bowl sessions that were made so popular, you know, that you saw so much about in the original documentary.
Right. And in the original documentary, they actually play up the Sid characters a lot more in this movie than they do in the documentary. Like, in the documentary, I almost got the feeling, I didn't realize that he was like such, I didn't realize he was part of the team and all that.
I thought he was
just like a friend or something.
Yeah, I don't know if they took some creative license with that.
Right.
Because I think they said in the documentary that he watched from a window. Like, I think he was sicker than being... Though, you know, they made a big deal out of him being in the middle of the pool and them skating
right.
around him. And I doubt that that's not true. But there just wasn't anybody with a camera at that point. Or maybe he's the one with the camera. you know, they have all that dog bowl footage. It could be because they show him in the movie that with him with a film camera. So it could be that all that dog bowl footage was taken by him.
True.
And I just, like I said, I give it a 9. I highly, highly recommend it. I would buy it for the extras, for the extended scenes and the deleted scenes. And I can just imagine what kind of featurette they're going to have, you know, those extras, those goody extra stuff that they would have. And I really wish they would package it together with Dogtown and Z-Boys. Because it would just be a must buy.
I agree fully.
Okay, well, I think that's all we have to say about this movie. I just do want to ask you that you come and visit our website at daveandshecky.podomatic.com, because we recently found out the way that Podomatic actually rates the podcast associated with their website is by people who actually visit the website, not by number of downloads. Which I think is very crazy. I mean, it's like our show has a lot of downloads, like a lot more than my other podcast that I have. Yet my other podcast is higher in the ranking simply because more people go to that website and leave comments, and we have like a comment chat all the time. And so because people are commenting and chatting with me on my website, I'm at like number 20 out of the top 100. Our show, even though it has so many more subscribers, is down at like number 80. So if we could just ask you, I know it's a lot to ask, but head on over to daveandshecky.podomatic.com. Leave us a comment what you think about this movie. If you liked it or not, or if you like us or not, but just go to the website so our ranking can go up until Podomatic figures out that their ranking system sucks. We have to do it this way. And you can also send us an email at daveandshecky@podomatic.com. Dave, got something to say?
Dude, it's been really cool doing this with you today, and like we'll do it next week. We're gonna review like another one, man. Like I don't know which one it is, but like we're gonna review it. You know what I'm saying, man? Right on.
Okay, bye bye.
Well, I guess we're all the best skaters in the world.
Yeah. Well, it's all working out for you boys.
You know what I'm thinking, bros? We're gonna be on summer vacation for the next 20 years.
Yeah.